and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of June 9th through June 15th. This is your host, Cardzy B. As most of you know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzy B. So we just moved through an intense new moon in Gemini this past Monday, June 3rd. And I don't know about you guys, but Gemini season has been kicking my ass, you guys. It's been kind of brutal. I don't know if this is because, astrologically speaking, Gemini is the opposite sign on the wheel to Sagittarius, which is my sun sign. So, you know, Gemini and Sag, there can always be a little friction there. Or because it has sparked just this increased amount of travel and communication projects, which is very Gemini ruled by Mercury. A lot of that has been coming up in my life. And it's good. It's definitely, I welcome in. I love travel. I welcome these projects in. But it's been leaving me feeling a little just, you know, overwhelmed, stressed all over the place. On the upside, Gemini is in fact ruled by Mercury, which is all about communication. And this has been a time of giving that area, the sword section of your life, so to speak, some extra love. It's a powerful time to examine convos you may need to have that you might have been delaying, and whether that's sitting down with a boss about a much-deserved increase or a heart-to-heart with a friend over an issue that you just haven't dealt with. Similarly, if you have any projects that you might have not really been ready to share yet, didn't feel 100% confident about, this is a really good time to use that Gemini air energy to push those little babies out and express them to the world. It's actually perfect that we pulled Justice, aka Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as one of June's main cards, because Justice is also ruled by air and really encourages us to choose actions and expressions that are aligned with our highest interests and authentic truth. Our other card for June, tied to the traditional order of the Golden Dawn astrology of the cards, is the Lovers, because the Lovers is ruled by Gemini, representing that fulfillment and harmony. And the Lovers is traditionally thought of as representing romantic partnerships and connections, but I always say this can also be through, you know, work collaborations or partnerships with friends and family just as much. And the Lovers at the core represents harmony and healing within ourselves as well. So for this reason, to me, the Lovers is just as much about cosmic connection and healing within yourself as it is about external love. These cards are a really powerful duo for June because both the Lovers and Justice represent seeking harmony using communication and movement of their air signs. If you want more detailed info on the cards for June, you can also go back to episode 45 of this podcast with the monthly overview. All right, so on to the card of the week. Four of Cups. All right, Four of Cups to me is, it's really a card of intuition, you know, of really using your intuition. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, the Four of Cups is this dude sitting under a tree with his arms crossed, and he has like three cups sitting below him, and there's a fourth that's being offered out of this kind of creepy decapitated hand poking out of a cloud in the sky. Now, I get that like the creepy bodiless hand is supposed to be an offering from the universe, and that's why it's just a hand from a cloud, but it is a weird image. Anyway, the Four of Cups reminds us that just because something is being offered to us, it doesn't mean that we need to say yes to it. Astrologically, the Four of Cups is ruled by the prospective moon and the often very guarded sign of Cancer. Four of Cups is really an intuitive energy of going within and asking, what's in my best interest here? Just because it looks good on paper doesn't mean you should say yes to it. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Kim Cattrall. So for those of you who are Sex and the City fans, you know that Kim has said no to making a Sex and the City 3 movie multiple times. Even though the world would def pay her some money to make this movie, and lots of basic bitches, myself included, would go out to theaters to see it, she knows for whatever reason, it's just not in her best interest, and she has stood by that. This week, if an opportunity comes up that intuitively you're kind of feeling, it's a no from me, dog, trust that. Four of Cups also reminds us that which is for you cannot go by you. So if it's meant to be and you do say no, it'll come back around when the timing is aligned for you. I'm so glad that timing did align for this week's guest to be able to speak with us because she is a lifelong, fiercely intersectional feminist, witch, and incredibly powerful healer, and one of the baddest bitches I know, Angela Mary Magic.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here with you, Bex.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I've been a fan of your work for a while now, and
Thank you.
I had TJ Ziegler on the podcast a few episodes ago from the Half
How are
Ass
you?
Witch, and that was how I originally discovered your work and your Instagram. And I really just I love the way that you work with rituals and different modalities. How long have you been practicing, and kind of what was how did you first begin your practice? Was it through tarot or was it through other spell work?
All right, so first of all, huge shout out to the Half-Assed Witch, who I live for their Tuesday Live. They're so amazing. Hi, T, you're so amazing. Our family likes to hunker down and do their meditation and their super quick style of tarot. So I'm not surprised that we connected in that way because I love that about your work too, Bex. You just lay it out there and you go fast. I love it. So yeah, my tarot journey is really connected really deeply with my teenage journey. I'm 53, so I was in the first wave of punk rock. I went to high school in 1979 to 83. So, there wasn't a lot of materials, frankly. And I got a job. I was already doing hair. I'm a hairdresser witch as well. And I got a job at a local bookstore where I encountered my first tarot deck. But by then, I had had that deep, long, really typical art background that started with a whole bunch of Catholic Church iconic materials around me. I've got eight brothers and sisters, and one teacher's income for all 11 of us. So things were really simple at our house. We had a lot of little altars everywhere and prayer cards everywhere. So paper, ritual, I connected with. And then with punk rock coming in, I did a ton of collaging. We were really into paper that way too. And when I got that job at the bookstore, when I encountered that first tarot deck, frankly, my simple means, I was, earning the money to go to cosmetology school. I couldn't afford the deck, so I started hand transcribing it card by card.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I know. Talk about a way to learn tarot, but we didn't have tarot teachers. We didn't have the internet. There really wasn't a great way to connect. I mean, some of the tarot greats were doing their thing, but for me, it was that hand transcribing. And I always say, and I don't know if you've heard this in any of my lives, but the hands are the heart's messenger. So when we do things with our hands, they really indicate sort of what we feel in our heart. So yeah, hand transcribing the tarot was a great learner for me, but I had already been low key practicing the craft. I had guardians and guides that were, guiding me through what I can track it back to about 3 years old, but I really think it was, the soul, my soul chose this time and this space. I have a pretty uncasual practice, but I like to have fun and, keep it sassy. And, I hope I don't slip with my salty mouth too much when we're in this conversation. But I love to have a good time, and I believe in the pleasures of the body. That's why witchcraft just speaks to me, because it's embodiment. We make these altars and we create these rituals using flower essences and plants because we're in this co-creation with our guides through our physical embodiment of witchcraft. So, yeah, I mean, it's really bound together, but I would say witchcraft came before tarot for me. But my holy trinity is in witchcraft is sort of a plant and flower essence magic, candle magic, and tarot. That's my kind of my holy trinity, and that's kind of how my rituals begin.
I love that. And wow, I didn't know that you had hand transcribed all 78 cards. That's amazing. That's, it's funny. I created my own deck last year and I hand drew
It's
all the
gorgeous.
illustrations. And I feel like that was really a deeper learning process for me as well. Even though I had studied the cards and, started learning them when
Sure.
I was young, it was your that's it is such a beautiful description of that using your hands and working with that and how it does kind of
Yeah.
even more deeply. So I love that.
I bet you that was dizzying for you to create full 78 cards. I'll be honest with you, I didn't make it. I made it to like 56 cards. I made it through the whole major arcana. I'm not a great hand artist. I do love to collage and make art, and I did end up making a Oracle deck in the 90s that I still utilize. In fact, it's on one of my lives right now, and we'll be making Oracle decks in sacred ritual at the 13th portal, my offering coming up. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point, during this conversation, but I love on whatever level one can create and however they have the privilege of their body being able to move and create, I love utilizing your creativity to create your own sacred tools.
I think that's so beautiful. And I do, I think you put, you know, a big piece of yourself and your soul and your spirit into that work, because I know for me now, I only do read with the deck that I created, and I
that's
feel
fabulous.
I connect more deeply to it as a result of the work that went into it. So I think that that's beautiful.
Good for you. So, those cards are singers, honey. You did a good job.
Oh, thank you. So I was going to ask you, because a lot of my listeners are kind of just coming into whether it's tarot or working with magic, mm-hmm. and you know that can be overwhelming. And I yes. think that like both you and I kind of started that out quite young. And I think yes. sometimes when you do it young, I always say it's like learning a language, because you just kind of like fumble your way through it and you're not doing it, you know, by the book per se. But a lot of the listeners who are kind of finding their way into the magical realm find it it can be overwhelming and they don't necessarily know where to start or with which modality. Do you have any tips or recommendations for that?
You know, I do, simply because I have such massive respect for where people are in their journey. And witchcraft is to know thyself. So in and of itself, we're all solitary witches. You know, when the day is done, we have our covens, we have our experiences, we have our online covens, we have ways of connecting with other people. But because of that soul fact that witchcraft is to know thyself, you are with yourself. So we're all in different places. So the newbies, I mean, bless your soul. You belong here. Believe what you see, believe what you know deep inside. Treat yourself, and all witches, experienced or not, as if it's your first day, simply because you have to nurture that childlike aspect of being alive. So, I mean, I wrote just a little note here that you have to take care of yourself in that inner child healer kind of way. You have to feed yourself best and first. It really is your duty. And I say that, you know, I'm a mother, I've got teenagers, and they know that I take care of myself first and best so I can care for them better. It's not right to not care for your practice first. So practicing spiritual hygiene is a really important thing to do. Give yourself time to digest the things that you sort of are taking in. And for me, I do that through an array of magic. Some of it's free on purpose. I really love guiding people and leading people into the big collective of witchcraft. Frankly, you know, like I said, I love to have a good time, but I'm a pretty uncasual witch. I really think that witchcraft can save the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, well, I mean, I also believe that, you know, we're all connected through cosmic consciousness. And so the elevating your energy and your connection, it has such a huge ripple effect. And you know, I've seen that in people that I love. I've seen it through my work. And I think that mm-hmm. the more people that are tapped into that, absolutely, it's healing on such a bigger scale than often we even realize.
Oh, it's so true. We share a grand web of life, and taking responsibility for the strands that we're casting and crafting onto that web of life is, you know, ultimate adulting, but also trying to stay really like fresh and make sure that, you know, we're well fed and well rested inside of, you know, what we know, what we learn. That's why I love getting readings from other tarot readers, because I love to, you know, feed other people, contribute, really pay for the work. And also I have to care for myself. I mean, it's just staying the child inside of my witchcraft is super, super important.
You know, I love kind of how you explained self-care as well, because I think now it has become, you know, like such a buzzword, and everyone's like, you know, put on your oxygen mask first, like you do on the plane. But a lot of people still really struggle or don't connect with that. And I think that working in, you know, no matter what healing modality that is, whether that's through witchcraft, through tarot, through, you know, practicing Reiki, you do learn that to be on top of your game, to be able to truly offer healing, you have to take care of yourself. And it's made me a lot more conscientious with taking time off when I feel like my body needs to rest, like really listening to that when I didn't before, especially like in corporate America, you were just taught to like more caffeine, power through it, you know?
Grind.
So I think that that was beautifully stated. And I think that that is such a, you know, it's funny, I didn't even think of that, but that is really an amazing kind of massive first tip of entering into this work, is making sure that you really, really hold space for yourself first. So I love that. Thank you.
Well, with witchcraft, and not all witches are lunar witches, but I am. So there's cycles. We're moving through phases really consciously. We're not always in that full moon celebration phase. We have to also take that delicious dive into the dark, and we're born in the dark. We dream in the dark, and so many of us make love in the dark. I mean, the dark is sort of where some of the deepest nourishment comes from. So I love that in witchcraft, we're so not afraid of the dark, we're attracted to the dark. And I love, you know, working with Round Tarot is my jam completely. And I created a deck now that's just way too personal for me to offer it in the public space. But who knows, maybe there's a lunar deck coming for me that's round shaped. I love the phases of the moon. And so I would say to a new practitioner, a new tarot reader, hook into lunar energy. I know that it's, you know, astrology is fabulous, and I'm not an astrologer, but, and sometimes all those zodiac signs can be really overwhelming. The moon phases can be as simple as waxing and waning to begin with, and then you can get more detailed inside of that with the gibbous moon phases and the quarter moon phases and things like that. But you can start really simple with new moon and full moon practices. I just recommend it deeply.
I love that. And I offer both kind of a little bit of lunar work and explanation through the podcast, as well as astrology for awesome. That reason. Because I used to feel, when I was younger and I didn't understand, I used to feel crazy that I would have these like exactly cycles of mm-hmm. whether it was having a whole lot of energy and then feeling less so. And I would get angry at myself that I couldn't maintain one level. And the more that I kind of did this work and connected with nature, I realized that we're not supposed to exist at one level all the time.
Exactly.
You know, constantly in motion and a spiral. And I feel like that is powerful advice, because when you kind of, you know, inform yourself of it and connect to it more deeply, you also are like, okay, like you feel a little bit, again, more connected just to the universe as a whole, and less kind of crazy in your isolation.
It's so true. You know, I mean, I repeat things in my free magic, because I do believe there are certain comforts that come from hearing similar things. It's like a bookend. It's sort of, I greet people on Instagram every morning in song. It's like a little kiss and a hug from Mama Witch just to send you on your way. I like to have things have some core comforts inside of that. And when I say everything's a spell, I mean it so, so deeply. So we can always remember that creating our own vision cushions us inside of that vision, and then our heart's, you know, sort of consumed by that and pumps our blood through our body. And like I said before, our hands are our heart's messenger. We create shapes that embody our vision in the world, and we sort of are cushioned, like I said, and surrounded in that vision, which is our spell work. It's our spell intention. It is really, really important. I'm just really so fortunate and so blessed to be able to be a tarot reader, that I have a space where I can sit with someone and be in that physical enactment of helping them tone themselves towards their intuition and also their spell intention. Spell intentions are so important. So setting intentions and initiating things on new moons is really important, and celebrating on a full moon what you actually love and what is real in your life. It just creates a really nice rhythm in your, you know, each moon cycle.
And I love that, you know, you are famous for teaching everything is a spell. And I love just the message in living with intentionality, I think is so powerful. I had a really impactful plant medicine ceremony in April, and that just came mm-hmm. through to me. I mean, it's something I believe, but came through to me really strongly, is how important it is how we use our words, you know, yes. and what that creates for us.
Yes.
So I love that is, you know, your constant motto, that everything is a spell. And I remind myself of that when I'm having challenging days, or I'm, you know, expressing a lot of frustration or negativity yes. verbally. I'm like, okay, yes. like, you know, use your words carefully, because they're powerful.
It's so real. And, you know, I really, I can't fuck this one up, because I've got two teenagers. I mean, it's like the stakes are getting really high now. I love them more and more every day. And damn it, I really need to not blow this.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like I said, I always, you know, I hear you speak about it on your lives and I see you post it about it. And it is such a good daily reminder. That's like definitely one of my daily mantras is that everything's a spell. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome, honey. You're a really powerful practitioner. I'm going to reverse it on you and develop my own podcast and have you on and find out how you became so powerful.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I would love that.
Girl.
So I wanted to ask you, I know, and you already did mention that your top three are working with, you know, flowers and herbs and candle magic in addition to tarot. How do you determine when you're working with, whether it's, you know, spell work or if you're doing some like, you know, lunar work or healing for others, how do you determine which modality that you're going to use? Like, do you have a view or how do you decide that?
Sure. You know, I'm such the catchphrase, you know, Libra sun and Gemini moon. So I'm about words in a really big way, that element of air. Witchcraft is spelled time, T-I-M-E. I mean, it takes time. And so for me, I'm about spiritual hygiene in routines. So I have my Sunday burn and burial practice where I take literally on Instagram, I do have a post from a couple of Sundays ago, and I can look a little bit deeper on that, that actually shows a time lapse of me enacting my Sunday practices where I gather all the herbs and the wax and the wooden matchsticks and even the tissues of the tears that my clients cry and when I work with them at my home tarot table, or even the tears that I cry, and gather them all up and have a sacred burning. And I have an area, you know, an outdoor altar in my garden where I bury the ashes of the work throughout the week. So I'm a really firm believer in routine. I mean, making sure that you can do your best to grow some of the plants and flowers that you utilize in your practice, just to have respect for what they need. I want everybody to know that I have massive respect for the privilege that I have here in California to have the weather to grow things. We can work within that too, though, truly. Even if you purchase your herbs at the grocery store, handling them in a sacred way is really special. You can dry them in a beautiful way, even over your bed, so you can have that kind of dream element with the rosemary that you're drying over, you know, wherever you sleep. It's just about developing your own routines, though. It's a really big deal to have your own practices. It's a big temptation to do things that could be harmful to other cultures. We want to make sure that we're not using, you know, practices that are, you know, appropriating practices from other cultures. You must listen really carefully. An easy way to enter into that is to look back through your life and what your ancestral practices have been with spirituality. And then just go slow. Let it come, you know, deciding what things to use. Sometimes it's just what's available right then. I love working with plants that are in season. I also love saving elements from each spell, not always burning and burying everything for the week. So right now, because we're sort of across the calendar from Hallows, a little bit past that, I have things from my autumn altar. I've got a whole bunch of marigolds that were on my Hallows altar that are dried and beautiful right now that I'm using in spell work. And I, you know, you can eat marigolds. I love, you know, making witch's brew all the time. And that has to be seasonal. It has to be things that are fresh and beautiful right then. So yeah, witch's brew is one of the major ways that I start my rituals. It's ways that I can consume and feed my body with my spell intention that I stir into my brew. So it takes time. You got to stand there at that stove and you got to put that wooden spoon in the brew and do 13 anti-clockwise circles, thinking of your spell intention and including chanting those incantations into the brew. I love making a witch's brew as a way of like beginning the ritual, especially if you're going to, you know, create sound. You can listen to music at the same time. Just try to embody all six senses in the work that you're doing when you're setting up your altar, and just give yourself a little bit of a break when you start and you're new and you feel like you have to read it right out of the book. Just take a breath, calm down, and maybe just take a couple little spell elements and put them under your pillow that night. You know, take a little bit of those marigolds and put them under the pillow that night. Let them infuse your dreams.
I love that. And I love that, you know, the message of not being too hard on yourself, because I think that that's a lot of people that I read tarot for, clients or people that come to me are always, they want specific, you know, like exact ingredients, exact spells. And so much of it really, like you were explaining, is your intuition and your own heritage and your connection.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, that the more that you work with it, the more that you kind of allow yourself to trust that instinct and that intuition. So
that's true.
I love that. And I actually would love to link back to, you said that you have an Instagram post a while back. I'll find it. And I'm going to link in the notes to this episode of that with your Sunday ritual, because that sounds incredible. I do have a quick like footnote question on that.
Sure.
For those of us that live in like massive cities in the Northeast, I live in Manhattan, and I will occasionally bury things in a park that are biodegradable at night, but what do you recommend when it's not always available for those of us who don't have a yard or who don't have the availability to necessarily burn or bury on a regular basis?
Totally. I am so happy you asked. For one thing, I'm a little bit showing my hand on this, but I'm just getting into selling black salt, and I'm doing it really quietly right now. Maybe by the time this episode comes out, I'll finally get off my booty. I have one that's consumable and one that's just for ritual purposes. Making black salt with the burnt elements of your spells is a really fabulous way that you can, you know, have the salt that you need for your spell work. So you want to save those ashes. Maybe do it in a natural vessel, a small little kind of ceramic pot or a little glass jar. Houseplants adore receiving the messages and would love to communicate those messages back to you in oxygen. So if you take a little pinch of the ashes of your, you know, burnt, you know, spell elements and weave it into your houseplant soil, I think that you got to have something living. And I think succulents, thank goodness they're in so like, you know, au courant right now. You got to have at least a succulent around, and you can weave those ashes into the soil of the succulent.
I love that.
Yes, yeah, so make your black salt, y'all. Get that nice little good rock salt out and infuse that under the next full moon. We've got a new moon coming up at the beginning of June. Infuse water and infuse salt, and then put your spell elements and ashes into that salt, and then you can use that to do protection spells around your apartment. You can do that around your bed. You can do that in your brew. But, you know, if you're going to burn down paper, make sure that you don't physically consume that. Okay, y'all? Take good care of yourselves in that way. You don't want to eat ash. You would like to only have black salt that's consumable, that's been smoked. Okay, sweetie? So I will have that for all of you all very soon, I promise.
Okay.
Everybody wants to eat our spell work, but be careful with those ashes, that you don't want to consume those if you burnt any papers down, because that's a really awesome way to do, you know, your spell work.
That's very helpful, and definitely for those of us, like I said, who are in cities and don't have access to, big, you know, burning and burying like ceremony work. So that's incredible.
Water though too, Bex, you want to, you know that your waterways will accept your lovely black salt with your spell elements really nicely too, as long as it's biodegradable. If, you know, like you already pointed out, biodegradable things in your public lands, but you know, any waterways that are nearby, even if you want to just kind of, you know, sprinkle really nicely with intention with your left hand, as is kind of witchcraft tradition, to do that yielding and releasing with your left hand into the gutter so it kind of washes away with weather. I love utilizing wind too. If you can find a nice little breeze, you want to put spell elements in the palm of your hand, and with love, you can blow that into the wind so it travels into the world, so your intention begins to take shape in the world. It's kind of romantic. I love witchcraft.
I love that. Yeah, I actually do that on my roof deck when it's
awesome.
That's beautiful. I love that too.
Yeah.
So I could literally talk to you forever. So I'm sad that we are getting towards the end of the half hour, but
no worries.
I have to ask you, because I ask every guest this, and I'm dying to know your answer. Do you have a favorite tarot card? And if so, why?
All right. So because I'm, you know, have such an enduring practice, I will tell you that they've all been my favorite at one point or another. I have two right now that are just speaking really deeply to me. I have the Hermit card because I received a cycle of evolution lifetime reading from Aaron Aquarian at Full Time Witch, whom I adore. This unbelievable reading spans 117 years of your life as seen through tarot birth cards and channeled messages through them. So I'm the Hermit, sweetie. I'm a number 9 life card. And that's a really big favorite of mine because I am a high energy person that loves to give a lot. And I have that array of magic, like we talked about, where I love to give to people. I have a massive respect for the fact that not everybody has spiritual agency to consume magic on their own pace. I know people have to sneak off to cafes where there's Wi-Fi to look at my altered states free magic. I understand and I have respect for that. And the Hermit allows people to come to them. So I'm being better about having a quietness to my practice and allowing people to come to me and actually pay for the work. I mean, I got to stay healthy and strong. So I love that card right now. And I love the reversed Knight of Pentacles. I love that sexy card right now that's reminding me to really keep my pelvic floor really softened and keep myself in my own sensuous pleasures right now inside my body. Not so much reaching out for those riches, but really enjoying the riches of my own body. And as simple as, you know, my own sex magic and my own body pleasure.
I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. And I love that you say that you've really enjoyed all of them and had a, you know, a favorite that's a different card at different points through your life. I think that that's the longer that I've worked with it, I've had that as well. And I think that that's like such a fun part of the process.
So true.
Do you have a card at this point that is your least favorite or that when you get it in a reading, you hate seeing?
Oh my goodness. Well, they've all been on my shit list at different times. And so because of that, it's so hard to say because frankly, I'm in a really joyful phase in my life right now. So what I was going to do to answer this question is I'm shuffling my round tarot right now. And I was going to pull a card that would like to reveal to me where I need to be more yielding to that message. Is that okay with you, Bex?
Yeah, I love
okay. it. Cool. I'm breaking the deck into three right now with my left hand, as is tarot tradition, back into one. And I'm doing this honestly. Yeah. So judgment card came up and I think that that's really, you know, calling me out in a really big way to let go of the past pain and suffering of the decades of having to keep my witchcraft secret. I was very, very out for a long time and then became a mother a little bit later in life. I had my kids when I was 39 and 40. And, you know, that was a time when I really was indicated to me very, very obviously and deeply and quickly that I needed to kind of tuck that in while they were little and going through the elementary school phases. And now that they're teenagers, I mean, most of their friends are following me and down low, so are their parents. And they slink to me by cover of darkness for their tarot work. And a lot of people still do need to keep it a secret. But the part of me that has been kind of harmed by having to keep this work secret and having to really judge who I can tell and who I can't tell, that time is past. And so I think that it's time for me to just really release any pain and suffering and judgment that I have surrounding who's going to judge me and just be myself and enjoy this heyday of witchcraft. There's a lot of really wonderful energy surrounding this work now and people are less threatened by it. And I'm here for it.
I love that. That's definitely a beautiful takeaway. Thank you for that. Before we head out, do you have any upcoming projects that we should know about? I know I saw you post about an incredible weekend event that's in September.
It is. September is so exciting because we have a Friday the 13th on, you know, of course, in September, and then the next day is a full moon. So we have a wonderful event coming up with two amazing practitioners. There's a little beautiful trio of us. It's Hype
Priestess on Instagram and Lunanate on Instagram and YouTube. They're both on YouTube, I must say, though. Lunanate is just massive, and I think they have like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube doing Reiki and ASMR. And High Priestess is a pretty amazing, you know, person who devised this amazing new offering here in Orange County, California, called Witch Walk, which is the third Thursdays of the month. We created something called the 13th Portal together, which is very dimensional. Part of it will kick off on Friday the 13th with a live stream on YouTube, so everybody can consume that. And then the next part of it is very immersive for a small little coven of course, 13, and they are welcome to spend the night at a private residence. We will be creating in sacred ritual our own oracle decks. We'll be doing one-on-one work with High Priestess Lunanate and myself. We'll have a fire ceremony, and part of that will be a public offering. So this is a circle that will kind of well into the larger internet public with the live stream, and then oscillate back into this, you know, privately catered, really intimate, small circle, and then oscillate back into more of a public offering at the fire ceremony, and then back into commingled dream work together. So we'll be even sleeping with intention and magic. And then we'll be ending on Sunday afternoon with an ocean blessing and a special adornment. I'll be honest with you, we only have 4 tickets left. So by the time this airs, I hope we even have space for more. But the 13th portal is just the beginning of something that's welling and changing for me, which is part of my Moon Coven offering. I'm becoming more active on YouTube and have devised a really cool way that people can sort of consume my magic one-on-one in a moving image form. So more of like a subscriber kind of way that you can actually learn from me and have me hold your magic spell intention, you know, as the seasoned witch that I am. I know a lot of people seek that from tarot readers, and a lot of people seek that from witches, and there's aspects of tarot and witchcraft in this offering that I'm just developing now. So exciting, cool things coming up. You can also, you know, enjoy my Atmosphere Magic Mist, which is moon infused spell spray. And I've got my black salt that's coming out, and I sell altar cloths all over at my little old website, angelamarymagic.com. It's magic with a CK, y'all.
I love it. And I'm going to link back to your site and your Instagram on the notes.
Thank you, sweetie.
So everybody, if you don't already, follow Angela Mary Magic and check out her website as well, because she's got some amazing products on there. Thank you again so much.
Oh, thank you so much. You're so amazing. And congratulations on all your good fortune and success, honey. You deserve
thank
the moon.
You too.
How incredible is Angela Mary Magic? I adore her and her work. And I have to say, I was having the most chaotic, stressful day when I recorded that interview. And speaking with her, honestly, within 60 seconds, instantly calmed me and just elevated my entire vibe. So grateful for Angela Mary and the badass gifts that she shares with us. If there's still space in her 13th portal retreat, I would grab your spot ASAP. So before we head out, I want to quickly recap. We're moving through that Gemini energy of the lovers, bringing in harmony and fulfillment. And again, this can be a deepened connection with a loved one, but also encourages us to integrate our own light and shadow within ourselves to experience more balance and harmony. On the other card of the month, we have Justice, reminding us to express our needs with clarity and also protect them with clearly defined boundaries. And this week, we have 4 of Cups coming in to remind us that it's okay to pass up on an offer that just doesn't feel aligned with where we are right now. After a very hectic travel schedule in Gemini season, I am back on Instagram Live every Sunday at 8 p.m., where you can tune in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions and get a live mini reading. So if you have questions that you want to send through in advance because you can't make the live, message them through my website, badassbitchestarot.com, or on Instagram, you can DM me. And continue to follow my site and at Cardsy B for all the upcoming events, doing some things around the summer solstice, and some amazing things coming throughout the rest of the summer. Thank you again for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.